What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Built Different podcast. Our mission: to spark hope, encouragement, and motivation in and through your life today.
When you finish a podcast, our hope is that our community would be inspired to live different, to live freely and boldly because of the love of Jesus.
We'll be your hosts. I'm Zach.
And I'm Brooke. Let's go.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to this week's edition of the Built Different podcast. You guys, we have another amazing episode for you guys coming up today with two very special guests. I'll introduce their names and I'll tell you a little bit more about them here in a few short moments. The first is Mr. Jim Van Steenhouse, and the second is Pastor Sal Saberna. I'm telling you guys, what a powerful episode of just diving into their personal testimonies, how God showed up in the midst of their pain, in the midst of their mess, and really sparked this sense of urgency and this passion and desire for revival all around our country. And these men are on the front lines, giving everything they have for the cause of Christ. You guys, what I want to touch on today is actually a message I heard this past Sunday at my hometown church, Thomas Rowe Baptist Church here in Lynchburg, Virginia. Pastor Jonathan Falwell brought the heat, man. He preached out of 1 John chapter 1, where it begins. The first couple of verses, first four verses, talk a lot on just the factual evidence that he had of Christ, because he literally testified of Christ. He saw Christ with his own eyes. He heard his voice with his own ears. He's literally touched him. He brings it about that Christ is who he says he is. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can get to the Father except through him. But then verse 5, he transitions over to what the Bible says is light and darkness, sin and forgiveness. I'm going to read the five verses. This is the message we've heard from him and declare to you: God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. You guys, the beautiful thing about God is that he transitions and can change sinners into saints. And when you're a saint, you not only live differently, but as his word is saying here, even when you mess up, even though we'll never be perfect, even though we all fall short of the glory of God, inviting the Lord in doesn't mean that it's not going to be painful, doesn't mean that you're not going to make mistakes, doesn't mean that you're not going to sin, because you are. But when you do mess up, when you slip up, you feel differently. You feel convicted. You go to God in confession. You understand that even though you're a sinner, you're not going to live in the sin, because you want to live in the light. You want to be different. You don't want to be living in the darkness of the world that we're enslaved to today. You just want to live differently. That's why we started this podcast, to help you guys live different. But unfortunately, what I believe we do, we all have this light switch, right? When it's off, it's dark. When it's on, it's light. But what happens is, I feel like the world has us at a dimmer to it. And so what we try to do is we try to be living our Christian faith out, right? We try to have the light switch on at all times. But what we tend to do is we dim the light down as low as it can go. We try to see if we can walk that fine line between light and darkness. We try to see if we can walk the fine line between being obedient to God but still trying to fit in with the culture and society. We try to be light and dark at the same time. But my friends, what God is saying here very staunchly and directly is saying, just be light. Just be the light that the world is needing. Spark the revival. I love a quote that Pastor Sal says. He says that most Christians are like the mouth of the Arctic River, frozen at the mouth. Why are we not going out there on the front lines sharing the good news of the gospel if we believe in it, if we're convicted by it, if we truly think that that is the way, the truth, and the life? Why are we not sharing that with other people, the good news? Because people are dying out there. People are living, but they're dying internally. And we could be a difference maker just by allowing the Lord to speak in and through us, just by being a vessel, by being his choice servant and his choice warrior. My friends, that's what I pray today's episode does for you. As the title says, it's a wake-up call. My prayer is that it would spark urgency and revival, not only within your own life, your family, your local community, and hopefully that local community can continually add up and potentially change the world. You guys, Jim Van Steenhouse is a good friend of mine. He is an amazing man of the Lord. He has a powerful testimony that you'll hear a little bit more about, but this man was on top of the world, incredibly successful when it comes to businessman. I mean, the dude started his own company and organization and has turned into a mega powerhouse type of place, but an outlet for his was always hunting. On a moose hunt up in the Northern Territory of Canada, he was attacked by a grizzly bear, and the grizzly bear attack truly changed his life. It helped him understand that he was living for a life of success, but that God wanted him to live for a life of significance. And it's amazing what God will use to be an interruption in our life. My friends, interruptions can be our greatest opportunities. And Pastor Sal Saberna is a man that the Lord connected the two of them together after the bear attack. And man, they have just indulged in one of the greatest friendships that you can possibly imagine. Pastor Sal has been a pastor for over 30 plus years. This man has a pedigree of understanding what it takes to spark urgency and revival and influence into not only our next generation, but to everybody that he comes in contact with. He also mentors Jim along this journey as Jim has literally retired from the organization, the successful life, and really turned his attention more toward living that life of significance and pouring everything he can into people. These people, these men, now they own and they're the founders of Bear Man Ministries. They go around and they just pour into people, church after church, congregation after congregation, school after school. It doesn't matter. They just want to share the love of God to as many people as possible. So, man, I cannot wait for you guys to hear the passion these two men have for the cause of Christ. Let me introduce you to my two friends, Jim Van Steenhouse and Pastor Sal Saberna. Pastor Sal, Mr. Jim, thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Our pleasure, man. Glad good to be here.
Yeah, so excited just be able to sit down with both of you. You know, a few days ago, I think it was a week ago actually, we were able to jump on a phone call and kind of just touch base, reconnect, but also discuss some topics that you guys really want to cover today. And before we dive in, what I want to talk about up front for a second is, you know, God has given you both such a unique friendship. And recently, you guys have been doing a lot of ministry together. You've seen some amazing things for the advancement of the kingdom. And I just want you both to kind of share just for a few moments what you've been able to see God do and kind of stir within so many and countless lives of the individuals you've been able to speak into.
I'll start. I mean, I met Sal in 1999.
Yeah.
Pastor at the Metropolitan Baptist Church, I guess it'd be called a mega church, you know, 5,000-7,000 people being members there. And I wasn't a big church goer, but I loved his oration skills, right? One of the best orators I've ever seen and listened to. And I'll never forget one time after he had a sermon, I called him and I was like, man, that's incredible. And he said something to me I'll never forget, being someone who rarely went to church. He said, man, thank you for the call. You have no idea what it means to me. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you talking about, man? It was fantastic. He said, for every one person that calls me and said my sermon was fantastic, I've had 50 people call me and tell me that I should quit immediately.
Wow.
And that was back in 1999, and I'll never forget him saying that. And it's puzzled me ever since. And then you fast forward to today and everything that God has done in our lives, which we'll unpack here a little bit. And then to put us back together, yeah. And then for one man that back in 1999, for reasons I had no idea, you fast forward now to 2022, and the Lord, back in 1999, it's like, I got a reason for the two of you guys to meet, but you have no idea what it is yet.
Right.
He's going to speak to you, you're going to say things to him, and then way up here 23 years later, I got an idea for you guys that's going to work for my good, God's good, and now we're back together. Do you remember that phone call?
Yeah. I do. I remember it. I met Jim at the church. Didn't Mike Ruth come to your house one time?
He did. Knocked on my door. Yeah. Said, "Hey, I saw you at church today. You want to be a member?" I was like, "Keesh."
Yeah, I trained most of my church to do door-to-door evangelism, right? Mm. Might have been one of the only mega churches out there knocking on doors. And
never forget
Jim that. Came to the church, and we had a card on him. So one of my associate pastors at the time went out there. I think it was one of your – I don't know if you were married or not, or she was your girlfriend or what it was, but y'all been out in the pool. Hands in the door.
You know this is going to go a lot of different places, right?
Sorry, man. Anyway, So that began from a distance friendship. Then I was expanding the church and had a piece of land and wanted to build a building and was kind of stalled out. And I knew Jim was very successful. He started a business at the worst time to start a business, and he actually made it through. Did some crazy things during a hurricane one time. He rented out a hotel when nobody had electricity. And still kept that business going. I said, I need that guy on my team. Yeah. If he could do that, keep that business going, he can help me push this church off dead center and get a building out there. And he did. And there's a building out there now because of that. But after the bear attack, I kind of went over his house and visited him. I had just resigned from my church in 2015, and he had the bear attack, and I heard about it, and I went over to check on him, and he's still all in bandages.
Looked like Frankenstein.
Oh, my gosh. Man, you did get attacked by a bear. And I told him about my bear, which happened to be the church. And it may have been a month after that, he called me up and said, "Man, they've asked me to go and tell my story. I need some help."
Yeah.
Wow. I said, "Well, I'm going to help you." And he's put together this little story, and I showed up, brought some friends, and listened to him. And even back then, that was 7 years ago.
Yeah.
I thought, Jim's an evangelist. And the interesting thing about it, I don't even think he knew. He had no idea what God was doing in his life. I really believe that. Mm. Other than God sent this bear. And I saw that then, and the Lord told me, "You need to go help him."
Right.
I said, "You know what it's like trying to help that guy?" I said, "But I will." And so I started inviting him to Bible studies. I quote you. I quote you this. I said, "Hey, Jim, I'm starting a men's Bible study. You want to come?" I quote Jim.
This is not a roast. This is not a roast.
I don't do Bible studies. Okay.
True statement.
I said, "Well, how about this app?" I handed him the Jesus calling app. And that just was the beginning of our relationship, me trying to disciple him and Jim learning the Bible. And then, to this day, when I come in his office now, I have to bring a Bible because there will be questions from Jim.
Come on.
Here's what he'll say after I tell him the answer. Where is that in the Bible? So I just bring the Bible in.
And I got so tired of him having a different version of the Bible. We got all the same ones.
Good.
Dang, it's really encouraging to hear y'all, the way you guys spur each other on and just the influence that you guys have on each other. It's so cool. And just to see the invisible hand of God just working since all the way 1999 till now, what God had planned for you both, to spread his love and his mission here on earth is so cool.
You never would have predicted that.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Exactly. And Pastor Sal, you brought up just nonchalantly the bear attack. I repeat, bear attack. Mr. Jim, obviously you have this crazy powerful testimony that I have never heard anything like before. And obviously you were really successful and still are a businessman. And in 2015 you went to just take a trip just to relax and unwind from all this craziness of your life. And in the Northwest Territories of Canada, you go on this moose hunt. And then in a snap of a finger, your life changes forever. Can you tell us what happened that day and how that impacted you for years to come?
Yeah, I was archery hunting moose in the Northwest Territories of Canada, as you had said, September 10th, 2015. And a mature boar grizzly bear just snuck right up on my 4 o'clock. I didn't see it at first, but it was probably about for me to sail away if you moved him back just a little bit.
Yeah.
And my guide, he saw him first and he said bear, and I looked over my shoulder and it was right there. Mm-hmm. And a couple of seconds later he was on me. It was one of those situations where I knew I was gonna die. I knew that there was no way that I was gonna survive that in my mind.
Yeah.
I people ask me all the time, what were you thinking? And not a lot, but I remember thinking, Lord, have me, here I come. I thought about my wife. I thought about my children. But as you said, it didn't turn out that way for reasons that I had no idea. In my mind, it was just an accident, a bad accident. But over the years, it was a way for Lord just really, I mean, the path that I was on was, I mean, as the Bible says, none of us are righteous, but right. when you would look up unrighteous, because this was written before my time, my name is clearly in this book all over the place. And it was just a different path that he set me on. And it was a very slow path for me. I'm a very slow learner.
Yeah.
I've been a slave to selfishness all my life. Part of the reason I didn't feel welcomed in a church is not because of what the church said or did. I just felt when I walked in there that these people are holy, I'm unholy. These people are righteous. They're not unrighteous like me, because everybody here just looks like they're perfect. And I'm the kind of person, and the reason that he resonated with me when I listened to him back in 99 forward was because Sal always put out there the vulnerabilities from his own standpoint. And that resonated with me. Here's somebody putting themselves as vulnerable, not making up this fictitious person and delving a sermon around that. He put himself out there. And what that did to me after the bear attack was I use everything that I've done going through life, drugs, alcohol, adultery, marriages, divorce, abortions, recovery, all of those things, I put them all out there. And what that has done is it has just had everybody is like, I can tell when I'm giving a bear man testimony, and I go through this litany. I mean, I'm talking of my life,
because
I majored in the minors and minored in the majors. As I see people, I'll say something, they'll be like, and I'll say something else, and somebody will lean in. And what God has taught me is that from making myself wrong, and it's embarrassing. I mean, I've done a lot of embarrassing things in my life, like galactically stupid, embarrassing stuff, hurtful of people. But when I put that out there, number one, I don't go to heaven because of the good things I've done. I go to heaven because I've accepted Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and it is by His grace and His grace alone that my sins are forgiven yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yep.
Amen. People resonate with that story.
Yes.
That's right.
Because it is not a fictitious person who I talk about. It's myself. And to Sal's point, to me, that was a one-and-done occasion when I went to that church. I went home thinking, I'm never doing that again. Then another church called, and I called Sal up, and I'm like, what is wrong with you people, man? Y'all calling me to talk about these things.
Wow.
And then it was just boom, 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 boom. We did 54, 55, 56 bear man testimonies last year. I think he and I probably slept in more hotel beds last year than we did at home.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, my mantra is Isaiah 6:8, and the Lord said, whom shall I send? Isaiah said, here am I, send me. And it's amazing when you just put yourself out there, God's like, I want you here and here and here and here and here. And He's never sent us anywhere where the Lord hasn't been drawn. It has nothing to do with us. He doesn't need us to do anything. He chooses to choose us. I call that being the wire. And if we are faithful servants, He will send us places where we are blessed.
That's right.
When we go home, God chose to use us. We get on the plane, we're like, who are we that God chose to send us there for Him to draw someone to accept a relationship with His Lord and Savior, with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Who are we?
Yeah.
Like, we'll be on the airplane. Sal will be like, with your famous words, pinch me. It's just, it's a long answer to your question, but it's been a whirlwind for me, and I feel like I'm in grade school.
Yeah.
Because I spent 48 years of my life as a total and utter slave. If you look up slave to selfishness in the dictionary, you'll see my picture. So I'm a child. I mean, from 48 to 55 is a whopping 7 years. I grew up in a Christian household, but I never practiced it. And for some, this is so new to me. I'm like, it's like the Lord says, be a child. Like, well, I am a child. Like, I know nothing. I'll call this guy at 3:30 in the morning. Sal, I'm reading. Like, you're not going to believe what I just saw. He's like, man, can't this wait? I'm like, no. It drives him crazy.
I love that.
Does that drive you crazy?
A little bit.
But I think it's so powerful, Mr. Jim, hearing your story. And as you said, there's strength and vulnerability. I was just breaking down John chapter 5 with a guy the other day, and he brought up a beautiful point that I really haven't thought of before. And he said, why do you think Jesus talks to the invalid and says, you know, he asks him, do you want to be healed? The invalid says, of course. And he said, but Jesus then says, pick up your mat and walk. Why did he ask the invalid, in a sense, that man, to pick up his mat and carry his mat with him? Because then a couple seconds later, the next story, it says that the Pharisees actually said for him to put his mat down because it's not proper for him to carry his mat on the Sabbath. And the guy said, because that's what the culture and society tries to do with our stories, right? The brokenness that we've experienced in the past, who we once were, our olden age, is like our mats. And God wants us to take our mats, to carry them with us, because that then reveals the true love of Christ. And that's redemption, and that's restoration. And Pastor Sal, something that I know you're passionate about and that we talked on our phone call was revival. And it's so cool to see this revival within your buddy's life and to see him now going out there and just preaching to the masses, really, about the good news of the gospel of Christ. Something you said really resonated with me on our phone call. You said, most Christians are like the Arctic River, though. They're frozen at the mouth. So you've been a pastor for over 40 years. As you hear about Jim, you know, sharing his story and just all the things that he's developed into, when you say an evangelist, what has God really placed on your heart specifically in this moment for our listeners to hear today?
You know, that quote, I think that was from Vance Havner. He was an old evangelist, and I think I read it in a book years ago. But I think it's because, you know, most Christians are highly intimidated because of the culture that we lived in. And they're somewhat ignorant, too, of who they really are in Christ and what God's called us to do. So what God's really put on my heart is for us to preach a pure gospel, number one.
Yeah.
Not cut back on any of the truth. You know, sometimes the bad news is the good news. The bad news is we're all sinners. The good news is we're all sinners.
Yes.
Jesus died for every one of us, right?
Right.
Embrace reality. You're a sinner. You need Christ. And then I think after that is to become very confident in the Lord. I think because of our culture, the way that it is now, people are very intimidated to talk about Christ. They're very intimidated to stand up and be counted for Christ, because they're going to be at least made fun of, if not intimidated, to be quiet. And so our prayer for men is that we would be able to equip men, encourage men, for them to stand up and be confident in who they are, right? I always go back to Judges 6. I have it opened up in my Bible here about the story about the Midianites persecuting the Israelites, and then God coming to Gideon, who is crouched down, scared to death that he's going to be killed by the Midianites that are out there, and he's tossing up a little bit of grain to try to survive. An angel of the Lord comes to him and says, hey, greetings, mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around and goes, me?
Yeah.
Got the wrong guy. But that's all of us, you know, that we are mighty men of valor when we are right with God. And I think what we need is a revival in the pulpits of preaching to people of who they are in Christ, what Christ has done, that he has conquered this world, he's conquered sin. He's conquered that which we are afraid of and intimidated of. He has bound up Satan for us. And we just need to go and be free in Christ and preach the message of the gospel and be released from the culture, right? The culture is dictating to us, you'll say these things, you won't say these things. You need to be more accepting. You need to be more loving. Well, what more loving, accepting thing that you can do than to preach the gospel, which by itself is a dividing line in all eternity. You know, either for Jesus or you're against him. But I think that we need confidence as believers in Christ, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in who we are in Christ, and understanding the word of God. Well, I think it's in Hosea where God says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. This right here, this book, everything we need to know about God and everything we know about living down here. When we don't preach and teach this book, we are starving people's souls to death. So we got giant encephalous heads and tiny little raisin hearts. Or we get the word of God in our heart, the more confident men are going to become. And that's our goal, is to confidently stand and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, dead to this world, dead to the things of the flesh, alive to Christ. And that's our prayer for a revival.
Amen.
That God's people would be awakened to at least who they are in Christ. The culture may never change, but if we do, then we're going to take a lot of people to heaven with this. That's the main goal.
That's right.
Come on, Pastor Sal. You're firing me up over here. That's right.
I told you.
You told me, Mr. Jim. You told me. And like Jesus says, like, those who love me will do as I command, the Great Commission, making disciples, teaching them to obey. Like, now, like what you were saying, Pastor Sal, is like, we need to be in the Word to know what the commands of God are. So then when we do spread that good news of who Jesus is and how much he loves us, we're able to then show people how to live a life in the kingdom of Christ.
Mm. Yeah. That's why we want to encourage pastors too, because they're the ones on the front lines. Yeah. They have to deal with all this stuff. One thing we always do is go and pray for pastors, encourage them, and help them any way that we can.
You know, it's hard. Break down one thing that you said is that it's interesting how the Lord works. I mean, his fingerprints are all over this. It could take 2 days to unpack it, but isn't it interesting that the Lord puts me with someone like Sal? I'm like a golfer. I've never picked up a pair of golf clubs before, being the Bible.
Right.
I've read it, but never really read it. You can read it or you can read it, right?
Yeah.
But I didn't create a lot of golfing bad habits trying to figure out my own swing that a golf pro, when I take lessons, has to undo my bad habits before he teaches me my good habits, right? Whereas Sal said, okay, you don't know anything about golf, sick him from come here about golf or the Bible.
Yeah.
It's in this case, golf being our metaphor, our simile. And he's teaching me everything that I want to do or everything that I want to talk about. At a bare man testimony, now we're getting called back to do Sunday services. Everything I want to do. Hmm. He says, not a word will come out of your mouth until you and I go through and it's scripturally based.
Yes.
And that's just the way that I, you know, it's like being raised with a golf pro.
That's right.
Swing, although it's not flawless, I got many flaws in my swing and I spray balls left and right and out of bounds and all over the place.
Yes.
But my coach is like, nothing starts and nothing comes out of your mouth until it's scripturally based. And when we travel around the country, it is amazing. Look at the Methodist Church, the divide and the reasons and all those things, because there's a divide in the Bible where one side wants this. Man, nothing can leave my mouth until my friend over here says, where are we going to find that in the Bible? We're going to talk around exactly what Scripture says. And that's just been a true blessing for me, because you guys can go to a million different churches. Sometimes I go to a church and it's Bible based. Sometimes I go to a church and I feel like I just went to see Zig Ziglar. I don't know.
Right?
See yourself.
Yeah, Mr. Jim, and with this new swing that you have through your friendship with Pastor Sal, you've been able to create these Bear Man Ministries where you guys go, like you guys have been talking about, you evangelize, spread the good news of the gospel. And this is like your freaking passion. Like, I can feel it through this call. Like, you are passionate and in love with sharing the gospel with people. Praise be to the Lord alone. And you have left a life that was chasing worldly things. And I feel like this is a key point that our listeners need to hear is, Mr. Jim, what would you say to the listener who is pursuing these worldly things to find significance and fulfillment? Like, what would you say to, like, your former self or that person right now that's listening?
Question. My uncle said to me one time, many, many moons ago, no matter how big your gun is, somebody always has a bigger gun. I spent 48 years of my life trying to fill the abyss. And it's not possible to fill the abyss. I had all kinds of reasons for filling the abyss. You can blame it on trauma or childhood or parents, whatever you want to blame. I was a professional at blaming other people for my problems. Call me Teflon, right? And I'll never forget it. It was June 2020. I was on vacation with my family, and Bear Man Ministries was picking up, and our organization was having the best year ever, on record, ever. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, Bear Man Ministries, or your career. It's, how are you going to do both? And you cannot, a man cannot operate on a bifurcated mind. You cannot have two spouses.
Two masters.
Well, you can. It's probably very difficult. And I just felt my mind split. How can I do two things? I'm OCD. I'm passionate about things. How can I be passionate about two things in my life? I walked in from having that cup of coffee and I told my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to step down from a company that I started back in 2004 with four people, and I was over 600.
Wow.
And I sat down with the CEO of our company now, and I made the transition and to just burn the boats. I'm out. And the Lord, the Lord put it on my mind that he gave us free will. The greatest gift the Lord ever gave us is free will. It's the greatest gift and the hardest to manage. If we didn't have it, we couldn't freely choose Christ to be our Savior. That'd be insurance policy. I exercised my free will to say, Lord, wherever you're leading us, I'm in. I'm all in. I burned the boats. That is I cannot go back, because I am the old Vikings. Send me to war, and when the battle gets tough, I'll look back there. If I've got my escape boat, I can't tell you I won't go run into the boat because I have big weaknesses.
Yeah.
But I burned them. They're gone. There is no turning back. The only way that ministry will not work out for us is if the Lord says, you are out of ministry. We're all in. And the Lord has just blessed us beyond. Look, I always say the Lord has blessed me beyond what I deserve, for he has plans I cannot comprehend.
Wow.
All of those 48 years of my life where I was chasing everything wrong, the Lord is now using it for him. All of these things that I have allowed myself to just be so ashamed of, the Lord's like, look, no. I'll forgive you for that. That's my grace to you, but now you're going to use that for my glory. And
it's amazing that you're talking about burning the ships, right, in that sense, and really just getting rid of the distractions, getting rid of the second loves, whatever that looks like, to really set your heart and your mind in the things above, really just pursuing God in a reckless way like you've never done before. And that's what Jesus asks us to do sometimes, right? Jesus asks us to get rid of those things, to, in a sense, grow weak so then we can be strong and be made whole in Christ. And that's what he's really asking us to do. So I love that. And I hear the passion too, Brooke, in these men's voice. It's amazing to hear. You know, Pastor Sal, one thing I wanted to ask you now, as I can tell that you have such a heart for men's ministry and really just trying to instill within them the leadership qualities that they need to lead within the homes, but also a heart for the next generation, right? Me and Brooke are in that up and coming generation, right? We love pouring into our youth and adolescents. What is it that you would want to instill within the young person today, right? What's some hope, encouragement, and motivation that you want to leave them with as they're listening about the culture and society that they're living in, and how you want to just be a reflection of Christ in the midst of it all?
Yeah, I love what I think is the book of Acts says about David. He served the Lord in his generation and then he died. Right? I'm not saying I'm going to die anytime soon, but I can see the exit ramp, right? And so I want the generation behind me to know you can serve the Lord and then serve your generation well and die. And when you die, you'll have something to look forward to, because what you did and invested in will follow you there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt in my mind, all the way that I've lived my life by the grace of God, that when I get to heaven, because I serve the Lord, that service continues to go. No matter what, whatever I put in somebody else's life, they're going to put in somebody else's life. They're going to, you know, Paul said, teach faithful men, you'll be able to teach faithful men, teach faithful men. All I am doing is trying to hand a baton off. If I would tell your generation anything, number one, I would say, know the word of God. Because heaven and earth will pass away.
That's right.
Jesus said, not one dash, not one dot of an I is going to pass away from my word. And if anything, we need churches filled with young voices that are heralding out the word of God, that are showing people how to live. Secondly, I would say, do not embrace the culture. The culture, embrace the people, don't embrace the culture. There are things in our culture that are destroying the people and they don't know it. They are embracing, it's sitting a kid down with a snake and they don't know the difference, and yet the snake bites them and kills them. There are things in our culture that are tearing down families, tearing down men, blurring the lines between the sexes, or totally obliterating lines between the sexes, telling you to be more accommodating, to be more loving, to be, and their definition of love isn't the biblical definition of love. And so I would say, don't embrace the culture, embrace the people in the culture. Love those people. Share the word of God with them. Third, be you.
Yeah.
There's only one you.
Yeah.
Nobody can be Sal Saberna. And I can show you a couple thousand people and say, thank God. But then I can show you several thousand people and say, well, thank God Sal was Sal. Because if he wasn't, I wouldn't be where I am right now. There's only one you. What my generation did is we started franchising church, right? That nobody could do church. Oh, look what they're doing over there. Let's go do what they're doing because that's very successful. Well, that's successful for them because that's the way God made them and that's where they are. Where are you and how did God make you? You don't have to be what somebody else is to be what God wants you to be.
That's good. Right?
You determine success by have I fulfilled the will of God in my life? When Jesus died, the majority of disciples were dispersed, right? One of them was a devil, betrayed him. The rest of them ran away. A couple of them stood by him by the cross, but anybody would look at him and say, this guy was a loser, but he wasn't. He stayed true to his message, stayed true to who he was, and because of that, the majority of the world has heard about the gospel. Wow. Be yourself, stay true to the word, embrace the people, don't embrace the culture, and do something, let God do something unique in you. And I think we're set up for a unique movement of God right now. It's like I got saved at the end of the Jesus movement in the mid-70s. That was the last great awakening that we had in our country. The same feeling of depression and unrest and uncertainty and foreboding is in our country now that was in the 60s and the mid-70s. And we're right for another generation to stand up and have a voice for God.
Woo. Amen.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I'm like having an interview with Isaiah right now. Like both of you, no joke, like number one, the way you just spoke that into existence, let's go, the revival that is coming.
Yeah.
But also just as you both are echoing, like I'm a man of unclean lips, but the Lord has cleansed me and I say, Hanani, like here I am, Lord, use me, please. Oh man, wow, thank you guys so much for that, firstly. And the fact that you guys are like, I'm going to do ministry until there's no ministry. That's the same as Isaiah. Isaiah was like, I'm going to speak till there's no more ears to hear. So thank you guys. And with that, with your ministry that's happening, we need to know and want to know what's coming up next for you guys.
Yes.
How can we support the Bear Man Ministries as a Build Different community? How can we be praying for you guys? And yeah, what's just on the horizon?
You want to tap on that one?
Yeah. First of all, the thing that we're mostly excited about is what God is doing around the world. Harvesting people. I've always believed that there is a great harvest always going on somewhere. The fields are wide on the harvest. It may not be the field you're in, but there's some field that's being gleaned in right now.
Yeah.
And so God put it on Jim's heart to find out where these harvesters are and where the harvest is, and then send resources so that the people that are there, the indigenous people in that country or in that place, can do more work. And so we are excited about what God is doing through our ministry in Africa right now, in Uganda and Kenya specifically, where hundreds of thousands of people are coming to Christ. Africa is one of the youngest countries in the world because so many people were killed off with AIDS and starvation.
Yeah.
So the majority of the population is under 30. I think 60% of it is like 18 or under right now.
Wow.
So there's a big youth movement of people being saved. And Rough Waters, if you go to bearman.com and look up the Rough Waters page, it'll give you more stories. I think we're probably close to 200,000 people, kids that have been saved just in the high schools, the junior highs and elementary schools where we get to go.
The last 12 months.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Over 200,000 salvations. Yeah. You know, it's interesting, Sal says, why Africa, right? You know, it's always one of the things that he taught me in one of the greatest Bible studies I've ever done, Experiencing God. This is like our fourth time of going through it. I always used to say, well, you know, Lord, show me your will for my life and I'll do that, right? But what I've learned in this, in Experiencing God, is find out where the Lord is working and then go join him.
Come on.
That's right.
Find out where he's working and then go there.
Yes.
And what we have done is in watching and what they're doing in Nairobi, Kenya, and in Uganda.
Yeah.
I mean, God is just working there like crazy. 10,000 schools in Nairobi and Kenya, 2 million children, 53% of the kids that hear the gospel accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. God's working.
He's working.
Yeah. And you've got all these people that are wanting to go, but they don't have the ability to go. And God's like, hey, I gave Jim the ability to make you guys go, get you two of you guys together, and this thing took off like a rocket ship.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing. God's just put A and B together for his glory, and now these people used to get into, you know, a couple hundred schools. Now they're getting into a few thousand schools, and this is boom, boom. It's just,
so the average cost of a kid coming to Christ is $3 in Africa.
Wow.
Yeah, so for...
That's crazy.
Basically, it's 57% of the kids that hear the gospel get saved. So for every $6 that someone would give, I can guarantee you one child is going to be saved. $36 a year, 16 kids will be saved. Wow. So we're trying to raise 1 million people giving $36 a year so we can see 10 million kids come to Christ. Second thing that we're really excited about is Jim's Facebook page, where there's always some inspirational Bear Man quote, or he'll send a quick a reel out. And it'll update y'all what we're doing in the ministry, plus his insights that the Lord gives him. I have a podcast, 10-minute podcast daily called The Growl 365. And right now I'm going through the Book of Mark, 10 minutes to get 10 minutes to be in the Word, and hopefully the Word getting into you. And
at The Real Bear Man. That's our Facebook handle and our Instagram handle, at The Real Bear Man.
And we're putting together retreats for men. We want to do more retreats. We want to get men together. He is building a place out in Illinois that we're going to be inviting men and pastors to come to so that we can minister to them, because we believe pastors are the key to the church. Church is the key to the community. Community is the key to the kingdom.
Man, you guys are doing some amazing things. I just want to rehash that for a second. All the listeners, check them out on social media, Facebook and Instagram, at The Real Bear Man. Please go visit bearman.com and also listen to Pastor Sal's 10-minute podcast, The Growl 365. You guys seriously are doing unbelievable things for the advancement of the kingdom. I can't thank you guys enough just for your willingness to just be so obedient to the Lord, and then allowing the Lord to reveal his faithfulness to you guys and to all of us. And thank you guys so much just for your willingness to join us today on the podcast, to be a part, to share the good news of the gospel, what you guys are passionate about, and truly allowing God to turn your pain into your greatest source of purpose. You guys, we love you, we appreciate you, and we're praying for you both.
Thank you, really appreciate the opportunity. Go Generation Next.
Man, you guys, what a powerful episode. And it excites me. And it's so refreshing to my soul to hear the passion that these two men have for carrying out the cause of Christ, for picking up their crosses and carrying them daily, for sharing the good news of the gospel, for instilling hope into a very broken and dark world, and for sparking a light within all of us to go out and do the same. A couple points I just want to share with you and reiterate from this week's episode. Number one is just know the Word of God. I think Pastor Sal talked about that. Diving into the Word of God, devoting yourself to actually being a follower of Christ. To be a follower, that takes action. To dive into something, to meditate on God's Word, to dwell on it, and then to then walk in attunement with Him, trying to grow as close as you can to relationship. This Christian walk is not called religion. We don't like the word religion, man, because religion is just a bunch of rules. Religion is saying all of these different things. No, it's about a relationship. It's about growing and building and walking as close as you can in relationship with God, communicating with Him, building it up, fostering it, having communion with Him, confessing to Him, and just growing closer to Him every single day. Saturate yourself in the Word of God. Number two, embrace the people of the world, not the culture of the world. In other words, love on people. Right? One of God's greatest commandments, that we love our neighbor as ourselves, right? Love God and love people. That's the motto and the phrase that we do at Thomas Road Baptist Church this year. Love God and love people. Love the sinner, hate the sin. right? Don't embrace the culture. Don't embrace the darkness. Be different. Be the light, but love on as many people as you can. Show the difference, because you have no idea what you could potentially ignite in within them just by being different. Number four, be you, because there's only one you. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know about your painful experiences, what God has walked you through. But one thing I do know is that there's only one version of yourself. You can't be the best, the next best version is somebody else. You can only be the best version of you. And I just want you to know out there, if you feel insecure, if you feel incapable, if you feel inadequate, that you're more than enough. That God has amazing plans for your life, because the fourth point is let God do something unique in you. God has a perfect plan. God has a purpose in the midst of your pain. My friends, sometimes not only do you have to welcome God in, but sometimes you just have to be a part of the miracle. Sometimes you gotta get up. Sometimes you have to take the first step. Sometimes you have to take a leap of faith out of the boat to start walking on water, on boundaries that you never thought were possible. But with your gaze and your eyes focused on Christ, my friends, you can do anything. Anything is possible in and through Him. You guys, we love you so much. We're so thankful that you tune in today. As always, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the Build Different Podcast.